Now, what I know about you, because I know it about myself, is that we all desire freedom. We all desire freedom from being controlled, freedom from being told what to do, from being held back from what we want to do, from being trapped. We all desire freedom from feeling imprisoned, enslaved to anything or anyone. We all desire to be free to love, to be loved, free financially, free from depression and anxiety, free from feeling judged, free to be who we are, free to experience hope, peace, and joy. The desire for freedom, it's ingrained in all of us. The problem is that many of us are living enslaved. Enslaved to something that's preventing us from being free to experience life, hope, peace, and joy, and is slowly destroying our lives, our souls, our relationships, other people in our lives, and our relationship with and experience of God. We all desire freedom, but many of us are living enslaved to addictions and compulsions. So, I wanted to take a Sunday to talk about it. Not only because I love you, but because we recently started something at Relevant that I believe could help many of us, that maybe could help you break free, and I'll tell you about that in just a little bit. But I know the only way that you'll believe me that many of us are living enslaved to addictions and compulsions is if we're defining that the same way. So today I'm going to use the words addictions and compulsions together, and here's how I'm defining it. An addiction and compulsion is when something, a substance, an activity, a behavior, begins controlling you instead of you choosing it freely. In other words, it's when something starts having mastery over you. It starts controlling your decisions, actions, time, money, mind, emotions, attitude, relationships. Addictions and compulsions are things we turn to for a number of reasons I do not have time to get into today, that eventually start controlling us instead of us controlling them. Now, I realize that's not the clinical definition of addictions and compulsions, but the reason that I'm defining it this way, and I'm using these words interchangeably today, is because most of the time when we talk about addiction, we only talk about or think about drugs or alcohol. But you can be addicted to so much more than that. You can be addicted to pornography, to spending, to food, to shopping, to gambling, to work, to approval, to control, to sex, to social media, to anger, to greed, to body image, to success, to gossip, to comfort, to the constant need for more, for bigger, for better. And before you push back and conclude, I don't have any addictions or compulsions, let me ask you a question. Is there anything in your life that has more control over you than you want it to? Come on, let's be honest. Is there anything you keep needing, keep justifying, keep hiding, keep going back to, even though you know it's hurting you or hurting others or hurting your relationship with God? Is there anything you don't really feel free from anymore? The truth is, if there's something controlling you, instead of you choosing it freely, there's a good chance it's become an addiction or a compulsion. And I'm not saying that to, you know, fill you with shame or make you feel guilty. I'm saying that because you desire freedom, and many of us are living enslaved to addictions and compulsions that have taken control of our lives. I'm saying that because I don't think most of us have considered the implications of that. The reality is all of us have been affected by addictions and compulsions, either our own or someone else's. And when it's someone else's, we want them to immediately stop, we want them to get help, we want them to break free, and we don't understand why they won't when they don't. But when it's ours, we tend to minimize it, defend it, hide it, explain it away, justify it. We convince ourselves, it's not that bad. I can stop whenever I want to stop. It's not hurting anyone. It's not hurting anything. And the truth is, justifying it keeps us enslaved to it. And addictions and compulsions, well, they always take more than they promise. They negatively impact us physically, emotionally, relationally, mentally, occupationally, financially. But even bigger than that, they negatively impact our relationship with God and our ability to experience His power, His presence, His hope, His peace, and His joy in our lives. Some addictions and compulsions absolutely have bigger consequences than others, but all of them eventually enslave us. They enslave us to guilt or secrecy or shame, isolation, hopelessness, fear, patterns we feel powerless to break. Little by little, they enslave us from being free to choose wisely, free to love, free to be emotionally and mentally healthy, free to glorify God, from being free to being transformed into everything God's created us to be, from being free to experiencing the power and presence of God in our lives. And the scary thing is many of us don't realize how much control our addictions and our compulsions actually have over us until they begin breaking us. Well, it's time to break free. It's time to break free before your addictions and compulsions break you. If there's anything in your life that has more control over you than you want it to, I believe you want to break free. And the good news is you can. You can break free because Jesus came to set you free. You and I being set free is actually one of the reasons that Jesus said our Heavenly Father sent him. In the New Testament book of Luke, chapter 4, toward the beginning of Jesus' 3-year public ministry, we read this. He, Jesus, went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. So, in the first century, Jews would gather together in synagogues to sing, to recite prayers, to read from the Hebrew scriptures, which is our Old Testament. He, Jesus, stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. So on this particular Sabbath, Jesus stood up to read from the Hebrew scriptures to everyone, and the book of Isaiah was handed to him. And Isaiah was actually a document written by the prophet Isaiah hundreds of years before that is part of the Hebrew scriptures. And it gets handed to him, and unrolling it, he found his place where it is written, and Jesus didn't start reading from the beginning of Isaiah. Instead, he opened to the 61st chapter and read this. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, to those who are in desperate need of a Savior. He has sent me to proclaim, here it is, freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed, what? Free. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and as everyone was waiting for Jesus to give some teaching on what he just read, he said something that no one was expecting. He began saying to them, today, this scripture, this prophecy from Isaiah that I just read, is fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus is saying, I'm the Messiah. I'm the Savior, I'm the anointed one of God, the King of God that Isaiah prophesied about, and you've waited for hundreds of years to arrive. And one of the reasons I've come is to set those who are enslaved free. And Jesus wasn't talking about literally setting prisoners in jail free. He was referring to setting people who are enslaved to something much more serious and much bigger than that free. Jesus came to set us free. To set people like me and you free. To set us free from what enslaves us to fear, hatred, anxiety, hopelessness, unfulfillment, despair, regret. To set us free from what enslaves us to what can only be described as death. To set us free from the control of what leads to addictions and compulsions. To set us free from the root, from what's at the root of every addiction and compulsion. Jesus came to set us free from a really ugly word that we don't like to talk about and many of us don't like to admit that we have, and that word is sin. And the Apostle Paul said it this way in the New Testament book of Romans chapter 6 verse 23. He wrote, for the wages, and we know what a wage is. A wage is something that we work for. It's something that we earn. It's something that we deserve. For the wages of, here's that ugly word, sin. And listen, so many people dumb down the word sin to mean mistake. But sin is so much bigger than that. Sin is a violation. It's a violation against holy Creator God. It's a violation against his created intent for us, which is to be holy, how he is holy. And it's a violation against his created will for us, which is to glorify him in all that we are and all that we do. According to Jesus and the writers of Scripture, whether we want to admit it or not, we all are in fact sinners. We're all guilty of sinning against holy Creator God. And the consequences of that are much more severe than just simply making a mistake. For the wages of sin is death. Paul's saying what we all earn, what we all deserve because of our sin is death. And Jesus, he talked about sin in a very interesting way, in a way that may surprise some of us. He talked about sin in the context of a key word, relationship. And the point Jesus continually made is that sin is such a violation against holy Creator God that it breaks the relationship with him that he created us for. The writers of Scripture tell us the relationship with God we broke because of our sin comes with a huge penalty, and that penalty, as Paul said here, is death. It's why I say all the time, sin does not make us bad, sin makes us dead. It makes us dead because it breaks our relationship with God and separates us from the power, the presence, the hope, the peace, the joy, the life of God in this life and in the next. Sin makes us dead because it enslaves us to what sin always produces. Shame, guilt, regret, worry, anxiety, fear, hopelessness, just to name a few. Sin doesn't just condemn us. Sin controls us, it enslaves us, it masters us, it produces death within us. And Paul is saying all are enslaved to the death that sin produces because all are enslaved to the control of sin, and there's nothing we can do about it. We're completely helpless to save ourselves and completely incapable of restoring the relationship with God that we broke. And there's nothing we can do to free ourselves from the control, the penalty, the power, and the consequences of sin. The only way to be free, the only way for our broken relationship with God to be restored, the only way that we can be forgiven, the only way to be saved from the death penalty of sin is for God to do something, which makes what Paul wrote next so amazing. But the gift, which is the opposite of a wage. A gift is freely given based on the giver's ability and generosity, not on what the receiver of the gift did or didn't do. A gift is not earned. A gift is not deserved. But the gift of who? God. The same holy Creator God whom we sinned against. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus himself said the entire reason that God sent him was to seek and to save those who were lost. Those who have a broken relationship with holy Creator God because of their violation of sin against him. Those who are enslaved to sin. That's you and 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 me and every single one of us. Jesus was clear that our Heavenly Father sent him on a mission to save us from the penalty of our violation of sin against him, to forgive us for our sin, to restore and redeem and reconcile our broken relationship with him in this life and the next, to offer us eternal life and to transform us now into everything God's created us to be. That's what Jesus gave his life on the cross for. That's what Jesus rose from the grave to do and prove that only he can do. And listen, this is so important. Jesus didn't just come to forgive you for your sins. Jesus came to set us free. Jesus came to set us free from the penalty, the power, and the control of sin and the death that it enslaves us to. Jesus came to set us free to experience eternal life, to experience the power and presence of God, not just someday after we die, but today. Jesus came to this earth. He died on the cross. He rose from the grave. Not only has set us free from sin's penalty, but from sin's mastery. The moment Jesus defeated death, he proved he alone can set you and me free from the sin that holds us captive. He proved that he alone can set us free to experience the life, hope, peace, joy, fulfillment that only he can give to the full. He proved that he alone can set us free from the control of sin that leads to addictions and compulsions. And this freedom is available to me and you as a gift you and I do not deserve and can never earn, but a gift that we must choose to receive. If there's one phrase I hope you remember from today. It's this: breaking free from sinful addictions and compulsions is a choice. No addiction or compulsion is too big or too small for Jesus to set us free from, but we must choose it. And the choice is not just stop, because if you could, you would. According to the writers of the New Testament, breaking free begins with the choice to put our faith in Jesus by asking him to be the forgiver of our sins and the leader of our lives, and we're going to follow him as our Lord. The Apostle Paul ended Romans 6 by stating verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." That last sentence was basically a summary statement of the entire chapter. At the beginning of chapter 6, Paul explained that when we choose to put our faith in Jesus, we are united with Jesus, we are united with Christ in both his death and his resurrection, meaning our old sinful self has died and we have been given a new transformed life in Christ because his spirit, referred to as the Holy Spirit, has taken residence within us. And then he says this: "For we know that our old self was crucified," just put to death, "with him," with Jesus, "so that the body ruled by sin," the body enslaved to the penalty, the power, the control of sin, which was our condition before we put our faith in Jesus, "might be done away with, that we should no longer be," check this out, "no longer be slaves to sin." And Paul's not suggesting that we won't be tempted to sin after we put our faith in Jesus. He's making the point that we've been set free from the rule, from the power, from the mastery of sin in our lives, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. And Paul isn't talking about what happens someday after we physically die. He's talking the reality of what happened when we were united with Christ in his death and his resurrection. He goes on, "Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has a mastery over him. He was set free from the power of death when he defeated it. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way. In the same way. Count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." Paul's reiterating, when Jesus defeated death by rising from the grave, he defeated sin. He defeated death. In the same way, we are no longer slaves to sin. We have been set free from the penalty, the power, the control, the mastery of sin in our lives, and the death that it enslaves us to. That's the promise. That's the promise for those of us who have chosen to put our faith in Jesus. Those who have chosen to receive the gift. Those of us who have been united with Christ. Breaking free from sinful addictions and compulsions is a choice. And it begins with the choice to put our faith in Jesus. Asking Jesus to be the forgiver of my sins and the leader of my life, my Lord. And if you've never made that choice, I don't believe you're here by accident. I believe God brought you here today for a reason. I believe he wants you to know it's time to break free. And I know some of you would say, well, I've done that. I've put my faith in Jesus, but I don't feel free. If all this is true, then why do I still feel enslaved to my addictions and compulsions? And if you're thinking that, or if you've ever thought that, I encourage you to pay close attention to what Paul wrote next, because, man, it has the power to transform your life. Paul goes on to say, "Therefore," and the "therefore" is referring back to what he just talked about, that we've been set free through faith. "Therefore, do not let sin reign." Do not let sin be your master in your mortal body, which is a choice. So that you obey, so that you're controlled by its evil desires. You need to know. Whatever or whoever you obey, whatever or whoever controls your decisions, your actions, your time, your money, your mind, your emotions, your attitude, your relationship, is your master. And you can't serve two masters. Which means sinful addictions and compulsions and Jesus can't both be your master. So, Paul goes on, do not offer any part of yourself to sin or sinful addictions and compulsions as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and those who have been set free from the penalty and power and control and mastery of sin and given a new life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. Who or what we offer ourselves to, we obey, we submit to as our master, we follow, is a choice. And unfortunately, we don't always choose to live in the freedom that Jesus died on the cross and rose to the grave to give us by offering ourselves to him. Instead, we choose to offer ourselves to sin, to offer ourselves to sinful addictions and compulsions. And Paul is saying, as a follower of Christ, as someone who's put your faith in Jesus and is now united with Christ, as someone who claims that Jesus is your master, choose to offer yourself to God by following Jesus, for sin shall no longer be your master. And once again, here's why you do not want sin to be your master. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul's saying, hey, you've died to sin, so keep it dead. You've died to sin, so keep it dead. And how we choose to keep sinful addictions and compulsions dead is by choosing not to offer ourselves to it, but instead choosing to offer ourselves to God by following Jesus. And come on, you guys, you know this. We give power to what we offer ourselves to. We give power to what we offer ourselves to. When we choose to continually offer ourselves to sinful addictions and compulsions, we give it the power to control us, the power to be our master, the power to enslave us to what sin always enslaves us to, which is death. But when we choose to continually offer ourselves to God by following Jesus, we experience his power and his presence, and he sets us free to experience life that is truly life. For those of us who have put our faith in Jesus but still feel enslaved to sinful addictions and compulsions, it's often because we've made the choice to offer ourselves to it day after day after day after day after day, instead of offering ourselves to God day after day after day after day. So let me ask you again. Is there anything in your life that has more control over you than you want it to? If so, it may not be a sinful addiction or compulsion. But let's be honest, for many of us, it is. Because it's hurting you, and it's hurting them, and it's hurting your relationship with God. It's time to break free. It's time to break free before it breaks you. And you can break free because Jesus came to this earth and died on the cross and rose from the grave to set you free. However, breaking free from sinful addictions and compulsions is a choice. And for some of you, it's time to break free by making the choice to put your faith in Jesus, asking him to be the forgiver of your sin and the leader of your life. And listen, there is no pressure to do that, but if today you feel a prompting, you feel a stirring, you feel ready to do that today, I'm going to give you an opportunity to put your faith in Jesus when I pray here in just a little bit. And there's no pressure to do that. And if you're not ready, that's okay. I hope you come back just as you are. But for those of us who have put our faith in Jesus, but are still living enslaved to sinful addictions and compulsions, come on, it's time to break free by choosing to offer yourself to God instead of your sinful addiction or compulsion. And I wish there was a simple formula for how to do that, but there is not. This is a journey. it is not a quick fix with a red pill. A journey of continual choices to offer yourself to God, not just one choice. So I want to leave you with a few choices you'll have to continually make to break free. First choice is choose to admit it. Admit your sinful addiction and compulsion to yourself, to God, and those who have been impacted at it by it. Admit if you could stop, you would stop. Just admit it. Stop minimizing it. Stop defending it. Stop hiding it. Stop explaining it away. Stop justifying it. Bring it out of the darkness and into the light, because as long as it's in the darkness, it has power and it has control over you. So choose to admit it. Second, choose your heart. You have to decide if you're serious about breaking free or not. And if you are, you're going to be willing to do anything and everything to do that, and it will be hard. It's hard to be addicted, and it's hard to break free. Well, let me be clear. It's not hard to offer yourself to sinful addictions and compulsions, but the negative consequences are hard. It is hard to offer yourself to God by following Jesus at times, but the consequence is freedom. So, choose your heart. You're going to have to choose which heart you want. Third, choose to get help, because you can't break free from sinful addictions and compulsions by yourself. That's why a few months ago we started Celebrate Recovery. Celebrate, there she is, there she is. There, good job, Debbie. Celebrate Recovery is a Christ-centered support group that helps people find freedom from addiction and compulsion. Celebrate Recovery is for anyone struggling with any addiction or compulsion who simply wants to break free. At Celebrate Recovery, you won't be judged. You're going to be surrounded by people who understand exactly what you're going through and who want to help and who can help. For some of you, Celebrate Recovery may be exactly what you need to break free. Celebrate Recovery meets right here at the Relevant Center every single Monday night, 7 p.m. You don't need to sign up. You just need to choose to show up. However, if you or someone you know would like more information first, you can go to the homepage of our app or our website, or you can text the letters CR, two letters CR, to 55444. We'll send you some more information. If you'd like to talk to someone today and ask more questions to someone today, some of our Celebrate Recovery team, they have white I Love CR shirts on. They're going to be hanging out by the Next Step area. You can go talk to them today. They would love to answer any questions you can for you. And I know some of you are like, oh my gosh, if I go talk to them, everyone's going to think I'm addicted to something. And then what's going to happen there? Listen, if someone's judging you for going and talking to them, they're addicted to judgment, and that hell's worse. So, you just tell them that, or send them to me, and I'll take care of them for you. Now, whether Celebrate Recovery is the path you choose to take or not, just don't try to do it alone. Choose to get help from people who want to help you break free, and this is important, who can help you break free. And here's the final thing. Choose to take one next step at a time. Continually offering yourself to God by following Jesus happens one next step at a time. So, seek God every day. Ask Him what He would have you do every day. And whatever next step you feel like He's inviting, He's stirring, He's prompting you to take, however big it is, small it is, inconvenient it is, scary it is, hard it is, choose to take it one next step at a time, one day at a time. If a sinful addiction or compulsion is controlling you, it's time to break free. And you can, because Jesus came to set you free. There's hope. You're not too far gone. You're not in too deep. You can break free. But you'll have to choose freedom.
During my active addiction, my life was very chaotic, stressful. Lots of anxiety, no connection with God whatsoever, no purpose in my life, a lot of depression, sadness, completely lost. It was I would say more of a vicious cycle of using, somewhat sobering up, and continuing to escape from reality because life was so chaotic. And I was at a point where substance, whether it was alcohol, whether it was drugs, that was the only way to escape my mind. And at that point, I didn't care if I woke up, if it killed me. I just couldn't stand being sober in my reality, in my mind. I thought I could function on it. I would drink mainly in the evenings, at night, social events, but it got to a point where it was part of my routine all day, every day to function, to be able to talk to people at work. Heavy nights of intoxication, I was also prescribed Xanax for my anxiety. So Xanax and alcohol do not go well together at all. They are both depressants and it heavily increases the alcohol effect, drinking the same amount. So I was heavily addicted to both. Really got bad in 2019 and finally stopped it in 2024. During that time period, I went to rehab 5 different times. I relapsed 7 times at least. I got a DUI. I got arrested multiple times. My wife filed for divorce. I lost custody temporarily of my children. I lost my business. I lost all my money. Had to sell my house. 2022 is when our business closed. End of 2022 is when my family and I moved from Des Moines area to Elkhorn. I still had struggles at that period. Over that next couple years, I went back sober, but I didn't change anything in my life. I wasn't following God. I didn't have direction, didn't have purpose. I had one master, it was money. It was money solves everything. And all it did was cause me more problems, anxiety, issues, because there was a reason the alcohol was being used to escape, to numb, to not want to be in reality. There's deeper issues, and that's what it's like with the majority of people. The final point when I realized I really had to decide to make the change or I was gonna die came at my last rehab center. I remember the first few nights I was there, I showed up there very intoxicated, very out of it. And as I was detoxing the first few days, I literally would lay on the floor in the chapel day and night and just cry. It was definitely the lowest I'd ever been, because at that point I did not have support from my family. I knew my wife was going to file for divorce. I received the papers at rehab. They sent to my rehab. Didn't have custody of my daughters. I didn't have my business. I didn't have God. I literally didn't have anything. When I was laying there just thinking, I had to make a decision. I have nothing. I literally have nothing right now. I can choose to keep doing what I'm doing and that's gonna kill me, or I completely start over, because what I'm doing is not the right way. I start over and follow God. That was my only two options, and I didn't want to die. God was the answer. He led me through everything else, but I now know that I broke free from addiction because I chose to follow God's path. To someone currently stuck in their addiction today, I know it can feel like you're too deep, you're too far gone. And I can tell you right now that no one is too far gone. God is always there. Your life's not over. I don't have baggage. I don't have secrets. I don't have shame. I don't have guilt. I gave it all to God. Peace. It's amazing. Being present in this moment right now is amazing. Life is just, I enjoy every moment. Bad things still happen to everyone. But nothing so bad as being in God's presence daily brings me the greatest peace that if that's all I get, that's all I need.
Find you at the lowest place. Who thought you'd feel me in the crowd? Who knew you'd make good of my mistakes? God, what a God. What a God, what a God. What a God, what a God. Oh, what a God, what a God.
Would you stand with us?
I thought you'd show. Your love has changed my life, forever satisfied. God, you are my everything. If the highest place I've reached is at your feet, then I've done it all. If the best thing that I've seen is your glory, then I've seen it all. Your love has changed my life, forever satisfied. God, you are my everything. Satisfied, God, you are my everything. God, you are my everything. Oh, God, you are my everything.
Let's pray. Lord, I pray that that's not a song we sing and words we sing, but that's the song of our life. That's the story of our life, that you're our everything, which is why we offer all of ourselves to you and no one and nothing else. You are our master. For those of us who have put our faith in you, Jesus, I pray that if there's a next step we need to take because a sinful addiction or compulsion has become our master, I pray that we choose to follow you, Jesus, and take that step today, whatever that step may be, and we take it tomorrow, and we take it the next day, and we choose to continually offer ourselves to you. And through that, you do a transforming work in us, that sin shall no longer be our master. And we know it, we feel it. Jesus, for every person who's never put their faith in you, who feels a prompting and a stirring, who feels ready to do that today, I pray that quietly where they're at, either in this room or at home, they choose right now to put their faith in you, that right now, they confess their need for a Savior because of their sin that broke their relationship with you, God, the relationship you created us for. And Jesus, right now they declare they believe you are the Savior, and through your death and resurrection that they can be saved. They can have a restored, redeemed, and reconciled relationship with you. And right now I pray that they choose to put their faith in you by asking you to be the forgiver of their sins, their Savior. And they declare right now they want to follow you as the leader of their life, as their Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.